You're listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. And with us today, Susan Bigelow, columnist with CT News Junkie, and Rick Hurst, publisher of An African-American Point of View. Welcome to you both.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
This week, the chair of the Massachusetts Gaming Commission resigned abruptly. Steve Crosby had been on the job since the board's inception in late 2011. He said he did not want to be a distraction after he was accused of bias by both sides regarding the Wynn Casino under construction near Boston. The Gaming Commission is investigating Wynn Resort's handling of sexual assault allegations against the company's founder, Steve Wynn. Susan, did Crosby make the right call here?
He probably did. I think it was, you know, I suppose you want casinos to be above board as much as you possibly can. I don't know what the outcome of that's going to be regarding the Wynn situation.
And Rick, the MGM Casino in Springfield, of course, has been open for just over a month. Should local officials or even the casino owner itself here be concerned about this change of leadership at the state panel?
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to change anything that the panel does. And I think it was an excellent move on Crosby's part to leave, because he's been involved in a lot of appearances of conflict. No proven conflict, but enough appearances of conflict so that I had some concerns about him for a very long time. So I think he did the right thing.
Susan, what should Governor Charlie Baker look for when appointing a new chair to the Gaming Commission?
Someone who has no connection to any of the casino companies would be really very nice. Somebody who has no conflicts of interest. Hopefully somebody who is impartial as much as possible. So that would be obvious, I think.
We are winding our way to the November general election, and a recent poll says that current Massachusetts governor, Republican Charlie Baker, is well ahead in his bid for re-election. The WBUR poll says Baker has a 44-point lead over Democratic challenger Jay Gonzalez, and nearly half of those questioned said they hadn't even heard of Gonzalez. During an appearance in Springfield this week, he had this to say.
I'm not worried about the polls. We're continuing to do what we do. We're running a positive grassroots campaign. We're earning a lot of support from people all across the state, and I think at the end of the day, that's what's going to win it.
Well, Rick Gonzalez says he's not worried about the polls. Should he be?
He absolutely should not be worried about the polls simply because he's not going to win. I mean, he's in real, real trouble. I know Charlie Baker, and I remember when he was running against Martha Coakley, was that her name? And Charlie Baker visited my office with his wife. Martha Coakley visited our office, and we got a chance to write some articles about him and introduce him to the community. I haven't seen Jay Gonzalez yet, and I'm a Democrat. So, I mean, I'm not alone. I have a good view of, you know, how people are looking at him, and most people don't know him. You mention his name, they say, Jay who?
Susan, Gonzalez said this week that Governor Baker should fire the head of the state police, Kerry Gilpin, because of the ongoing overtime scandal. And then later he called for the head of the MBTA also to be fired. Is this a good way to get attention calling for people's jobs?
Well, it's a way to get attention. And right now he's going to try and take anything he can get. He's so far behind in the polls. He's not raising any money. Really, this is all about a gigantic money operation, fundraising that Charlie Baker has, and he really doesn't. So he's going to try and stoke that outrage and stoke people's anger as much as possible.
Meanwhile, in Connecticut, candidates for governor met again this week in a debate, and this time an independent candidate, Oz Griebel, was invited to attend it. It was the first time that he had joined both of the other candidates, Democrat Ned Lamont and Republican Bob Stefanowski, on stage at the same time. Susan, how did Oz Griebel stack up on the debate stage with Lamont and Stefanowski?
He actually performed very well. He was very much a breath of fresh air because he did not sort of engage in the same kinds of back and forth, boring, tired attacks that Ned Lamont and Bob Stefanowski have been engaging in for some time now. And he actually seemed to have specific policy ideas and actual things to talk about instead of just basic platitudes like cut the taxes and do this and do that. So he also takes some very unpopular positions like putting tolls up, but that's, in my view, that's a necessary thing, but it's not going to make him popular.
And Rick, what do you think of the idea of including or excluding independent or third-party candidates in debates?
Well, actually, I've got mixed emotions about it. I don't think anybody should be eliminated, but when you only have, are at a 5% level in the polls, and the other two are way up there, and, you know, it makes it very difficult for the two who are trying to vie for the Democrat, the Republican. All of a sudden, this independent who doesn't have a chance of winning jumps in, and it complicates things. On the other hand, like I say, everybody has a right to be seen.
And along with the races for governor, voters in both Massachusetts and Connecticut will have questions on their respective ballots to choose from in November. In Massachusetts, they deal with nurse staffing ratios, the Citizens United decision, and transgender protections. And in Connecticut, voters will be asked about transportation funding and protecting state-owned land. Susan, you wrote recently that you don't like referendums. Tell us a little bit more.
I don't. And the transgender referendum in Massachusetts is actually a good reason why putting the rights of a small minority up for a vote by the majority is... It's never a good thing. Even if the vote passes, even if the law is protected, just the idea that your rights are subject to the whims of the majority, it's troubling. And it's also the case that popular sentiment can sometimes be kind of ruinous. If we look at California, some of the referendums that have passed there have limited the state government's ability to fund itself in a lot of ways and have been very damaging. So sometimes those referendums can go very, very, very wrong. And we are a democratic republic. We're not a full democracy. And when you have referendums, you actually try to create sort of a parallel legislative system. And there can be a lot of conflicts back and forth, which should be listened to. Should it be the legislature? Should it be the referendum? What if they're in conflict? And that's not something that's always settled.
Rick, what's your take on ballot questions?
I don't trust referendums because it's a little too much democracy, and especially in the environment that we have currently, the Trump environment, where he's encouraged people to go crazy. I wouldn't want to be trying to pass the civil rights movement in this current environment, to be frank with you, and the transgender issue fits right into that. I don't think we should leave that to the trust of the general public, nor that nursing thing, by the way. I don't think the public is ready to determine how many nurses we have in a hospital ward. I just don't.
All right, Rick Hurst of An African American Point of View and Susan Bigelow of CT News Junkie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
More than welcome.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts, or at nepr.net/podcasthub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.